And what I do is I have a PC and I have a laptop, and I've made it two very separate parts of my brain, I think, when I'm doing my copywriting. When I'm running my business or, you know, working, interviewing people, I'm at my computer on my PC. I'm sitting up straight. I'm very on and task-oriented. When it's time for me to start writing, I get off my desk. I don't work on my PC. I get my laptop. And I have two places that I'll go to, and I actually lay down and type. I lay on my couch, and it's just a very, I've tried to make it a very different environment so I will quickly switch on and be able to write. And it's worked. It took me a long time to kind of figure this out, but it works very well for me. The other thing that helps me is knowing that my kids are gone and my house is very clean and I don't feel like I should be doing a lot of things.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of a silly thing, but it makes a big difference for me.
That's perfect. It's really kind of setting your mind free by making sure there's no distractions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cleaning your laundry, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, you just have to get away from it. And I think a key, too, is getting away from your desk because
exactly.
You tend to be very task-oriented there. I think most of us do.
Yep.
And not everyone has a laptop, but if you can, just go in a different place. It doesn't have to be outside or in the mountains, just someplace different. And teach your brain, okay, now it's time to get creative. Now it's time. And you
just change the environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have basically, you've almost conditioned yourself then so that you're, when you're lying on the couch, that's kind of, you know, copywriting mode.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but it works. It took a little while, but now I'm like, I can't sit at my desk and write copy.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not as crazy as it sounds. It's funny because talking to copywriters, a lot of us, and I mean, I'm not a copywriter by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I do enjoy writing. The copy and stuff, and I think each of us works individually, and we don't really share ideas within. You know, how do you come up with these ideas? Where do they come from?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for me, I kept it really quiet for a while. That my best ideas come when I'm having a bath. If I just, you know, you just lie there.
Relax.
And
yeah,
you're totally relaxed and just open your mind. And then suddenly all the, you know, amazing ideas and things come along. So I have a tape recorder with me all the time when I'm having a bath. And I thought, okay, this is really strange. So I'm not going to really tell anybody how I come up with my ideas. But I was reading David Ogilvy, one of the great, great, advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, he says, my best ideas come to me in the bath. And
yeah.
I thought, oh, thank goodness. But I think it's a key. I mean, you know, I've kind of, like you, you've conditioned yourself that, you know, the couch is you know, the idea generator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for other people, you know, maybe it's you know, sitting in a bath or you know, wherever. I was talking to another copywriter that actually has this almost like a glass enclosure where he looks out into the woods and he sits there with his laptop. So I think it's the important thing is that you basically come up with a new environment that's not sitting at your desk. Like you said, get away from your tasks and get into the creative environment side of things.
I agree. And now, I think being relaxed.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I mean, you're in the healthcare industry or marketing in the healthcare industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're going to suddenly, you know, somebody says to you, you know, Kelly, I'm marketing margarine. I want to go and, you know, come up with a campaign for margarine. It's not going right back to the basics and saying, okay, well, how in the world do you make margarine? You know, what does the plastic container look like? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're not going right back to the basics. But I'm sure each client has, like you said, each client is individual.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it to look at what the client has done for the last 5 years or the last 10 years and really kind of dig in deep and get all the details in their business?
Well, I think it's pretty important. 10 years is pretty far back, but I'd like to see what they've done for a couple reasons. I get to know what they like and what their style is. And as a copywriter, you know, I can create lots of things, but I want it to be a part of them, an extension of their voice and their company, whatever kind of atmosphere they've created. I'd be doing a disservice to the prospects they're trying to attract if I didn't portray their company accurately. So going back through, if nothing else, it gives me a good sense of that. Also asking them, you know, what's worked, what hasn't, just helps you not start from square one again. If they've tried something and it looked pretty good and it didn't work, marketing is a lot of trial and error. You know it didn't work in this community for this doctor.
Right.
It might work in the community next door, but it didn't work here. So you save a lot of time and money by doing that. Also, you can look at things and say, well, gosh, you've already got this. If we just tweak this one little thing, it might work great, and you can save them some time and money by just fixing up some things they have. So I think there's a lot of benefit to going through what they have, and it's nice. Some people keep all their marketing, and some people don't. So it's kind of, sometimes it's a learning process for them to go through and look at what they've done and see what they've done and learned from it, if anything, if they even stopped to measure or evaluate it. It can be a learning process for them.
Excellent.
And help them be a better business owner.
Now, do you have a formula that you've gone through? I mean, we basically covered each of the individual steps
mm-hmm.
that we go or that you go through, you know, when you get a client and take a look at, you know, how their process works. Is there anything else that you do that we missed?
I don't think so.
Seems
yeah, I think, you know, I think we've talked about everything. I really believe that I think about a formula, and I don't have like a special written thing down, but it's that same process over and over again. And I have worksheets I have clients fill out to kind of work themselves through it before I meet with them.
Right.
That it is a process. It is a definite process.
Now, what about when it comes to actually writing copy? How do you go about that? Do you have a formula for, you know, for actually getting the copy to flow?
Oh no. I will go through all this research, the behind the scenes stuff, and interview, and a lot of it's what we didn't really talk about, looking at the competitors. I guess that's a big thing I spend a lot of time on. I actually will make my clients give me three main competitors, and a lot of them have never spent the time to even think of who their top three are. And I'll go through and kind of look at how they differentiate themselves from their competitors, and if they're not, which a lot of people aren't, as I'm writing and going through things, I'll be looking for things to help them, make them a little different. But when I go into writing, I just kind of go through everything that I've got, and by now I have lots of interviews and worksheets and research, and I'll take a couple days, I'll put it away. I put it away for a while and just kind of think about it, which I think is important, and just try to go to a calm place and work on some other things and just kind of stew it in my brain, and then I just start writing. And I'm not a big planner. I just spew out everything that I have and start editing and going back through and really refining it. And I'll spend several days going through and editing. I mean, I just work it. I was just reading, I just downloaded something yesterday about for writers, helping them write faster and mind mapping and all this stuff. And I looked at it and thought, it was a pretty good idea. But mine works for me, just kind of throwing it out there and massaging it around.
That's beautiful. That's quite unique. I just read something as well the other day, and I can't remember who it was or exactly what it said, but the whole point was exactly what you said. Just sit down and let everything flow out. Don't start editing immediately. Just write like crazy and let everything flow out on the paper, and then go back and edit it after.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So do you write like that? You just go and just go nuts, go write everything, and then go back and pull a headline out of there? Or how do you come up with a headline?
Sometimes I write the headline first, and then I'll go back and change it at the end. A lot of times the headline comes to me. I usually actually will write one first, and then I'll start writing, but I usually end up with something different than that in the end, because as you're massaging it, and sometimes I'll kind of, as I'm writing, outline in the middle to make sure my points are really clear, and the headline will kind of jump out at you, or at me, sometimes in the middle. the headline is hard.
And it's the most important part.
Yeah, it is. So it gets, I play around with it a lot. The headlines are hard to goof around with. They're so important that I don't like to just have one and say, okay, this is it. I think it's got to be a fluid thing. And a lot of times I'll have a couple that I play around with. Sometimes I'll show the client a couple and see what they think. Okay. Let them play with both of them in their advertising and see if one works better than the other.
Now, just to back up for a second, something just hit me. When you're talking about competitors, is it better to do or be in the same places as your competitors? For example, if you know all the chiropractors in the local area are advertising in the Yellow Pages, should me, if I'm a chiropractor, should I be in the Yellow Pages so people see that, oh, yes, okay, I'm you know, a chiropractor within the community as well? Or should I look at being somewhere else so that I'm actually, you know, attracting different clients than my competitors are?
Well, I would be somewhere different. If it's the Yellow Pages, I would say have a little ad in the Yellow Pages. The fact of the matter is, and healthcare is different than most other industries on this, people don't go to the Yellow Pages to find a doctor.
Okay.
They get them, and it, chiropractors might be a little different, but you don't. You get a referral from someone. Your friends tell you who they use. One doctor might refer you to another. So if I'm in healthcare, I'm going to say go where other people aren't and make sure your referral system is in place. And we really spend time looking at that and building joint ventures and partnerships with other businesses that are similar to you. So, for example, if you're a chiropractor and you know you want to serve people that have been, let's just say, sports injuries again, where might you go? You might talk to physical therapists. How can you guys refer patients back and forth? Medical doctors, maybe some of the sporting goods stores. Maybe just think outside the box and go places where other people aren't. Maybe you sponsor the baseball leagues and, you know, when someone gets an injury in baseball, they know, oh, well, he's our sponsor. He's a chiropractor. He can help us. We should go to him. He sponsors us. I say go to other places because you want to attract different people.
Right.
If there's 10 chiropractors in your community and 9 are advertising in your local newspaper, go somewhere else where they're not.
So how are you going to approach someone to do a joint venture? You said to, you know, make sure your referral system is in place. If I'm a chiropractor, like you said, sponsor, you know, look at sponsoring the, the, you know, the Little League or whatever. How can I guess, ensure that, you know, the doctors are referring, or some doctors are referring their clients to me? Is there some sort of a monetary trade-off there, or how does that work?
No. Well, there's not a monetary trade-off. And this is actually my special secret stuff, but what I do is I have tell them, you know, when a patient comes in to see you to start building the relationships, put it on your paperwork. Who's your medical doctor? Do you see a massage therapist? Ask them. And then when they write down who it is, send that doctor a note and keep them updated on the progress so that they don't feel like you're stealing people from them. Try to build more of a mutual relationship. Because it's threatening a lot of times. One kind of practice, physical therapists might think that the massage therapists are trying to compete for the same patients. Really, they can refer them back and forth and really take good care of the patient by trying to find what's best for them. So really, it's about building relationships. If you know that there's a specific place in town that you'd like to do some joint ventures with, call them and ask them out to lunch. See if anybody in your network knows them that could introduce you. There's a lot to be said. A lot of us like to stay behind our computer. I mean, I know I do. I'm a writer. I like staying behind my computer and being nice and cozy. But there's a lot to be said for getting out in the community and meeting with people and establishing relationships face-to-face so that you can spend most of your time behind your computer doing what you like to do. But you've got to spend the time outside there so you can stay in. That's what works for me, and that's what works for most of the people I work with.
So what are you seeing then as some of the common mistakes that people are making in their marketing?
Well, there's several, actually. I think a big thing I see is not narrowing it down to that, not knowing who your ideal perfect client is. I don't think most people do that. Well, I know most people don't do that. They'll maybe have three or four. And to have your messages very clear and direct, you need to be talking to one person. Another thing I see is people don't differentiate themselves from their competitors. If we play with the chiropractors some more, and there's 10 chiropractors that can all help your neck pain or get your spine straight that people might not care about, pick the thing that no one else talks about. Even if you all do the same thing, pick something that no one else says and make that yours. The first one to claim it, they're the ones that own it. And
it,
people don't do that. Pardon?
Can you give me an example of that?
Sure. Actually, I can give you a couple examples. Like, look at Federal Express. They were the first one to say that they could get it there overnight, and that's the first thing that people think of. There's a lot of companies that can get your packages there overnight. But FedEx was the first one to claim it. Another example that I use a lot, I don't know this story textbook. I heard this many, many years ago, but the toothpaste companies. If you look back, like when toothpaste was first starting, that was several decades ago, there was toothpaste and people used it to clean their teeth. And toothpaste is pretty much toothpaste. Well, one of the companies decided to market it a little bit different, and they took toothpaste, changed the color a little bit, and they said, oh, you don't, they targeted it to maybe 18 to 24-year-old men. Can't get a girlfriend, maybe it's your bad breath. Our toothpaste helps you have fresh breath. So everyone that cares about dating and wants fresh breath goes and buys this toothpaste.
Right.
Let's say it's Colgate.
Yeah.
Toothpaste is still toothpaste.
Yeah.
But because they made themselves a little bit different, that's who people go to for that. And look at all the different kinds of toothpaste there are now. There's toothpaste for smokers, for sensitive teeth, for people that want white teeth. Toothpaste is toothpaste. They tweak it a little bit. You can do the same thing for your business. You need to look at it and say, well, what is no one else saying? And claim, just pick something and claim it as your own and really go after that one thing.
Fantastic. So if we
yeah.
took, if now toothpaste is a great example, but if we look at a chiropractor,
okay,
what can one chiropractor say? Is that where you're going back and saying maybe just focus on sports injuries, for example?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
there are so I love chiropractors. I truly believe in the wellness that they provide. There are many, many, many benefits. That was just one niche that I picked. There's a bunch of them.
Excellent.
And they can definitely, they can get, there's a lot of different ways. And you don't, with chiropractic, it's not, it's your community. So look in where you're at. It's not a big national thing that you can, that no one else can say. Look at your community.
Right. So is there, when you're saying that as well, is there differences between, you know, marketing locally as opposed to marketing nationally or you get online and marketing, you know, internationally, globally? Are there differences in the marketing or is it basically the same?
Well, it's the same. The techniques you can use, you're going to use different techniques, but the competition you're looking at is going to be different. So like a chiropractor, there's tons of them all over the place. Really, they maybe want to attract people in a 10 or 20 mile radius. It's going to be different than someone who's doing, let's say they're a healthcare copywriter like me online. I'm looking at competitors on a global basis. I get hired by people all over the place. So I look at what do other healthcare copywriters say? Who are they talking to? I don't look at the copywriters in my local area.
Right. Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Absolutely.
It's just you're just looking at it differently. That's all.
So the actual process is the same.
Yes.
It's just the media that ends
uh-huh.
up being, or the way that you're delivering the message that ends up being different.
Right.
Perfect. Do you have any success stories of your client success stories that you can share with us?
Yeah, I have a couple. I don't know. I love working with all my clients have all been successful. I think some of the ones that stick out for me are just some of the grassroots marketing that maybe they didn't have a lot of money that were really fun. I worked with one, a smaller hospital group in my area, actually, and we did a lot of grassroots. I mean, I wrote just little articles that went in some of the sports centers and some of the different places. It was just real grassroots. We were talking about women and heart disease and having them recognize symptoms and measured how many people came into the emergency room with those systems. And it just a little, I mean, they just didn't spend so much money was what was so cool. The little grassroots marketing they did, there was huge, I mean, the numbers like doubled. It was more than double of the women that came in recognizing symptoms of having a heart attack. So that was one of them.
Wow.
Another one that really stands out to me is just ghostwriting an article, or it's happened a couple times, but one lady, sometimes I'll write articles for doctors. They don't have time, you know, they don't have time to do some of the stuff. So I'll interview them, and one lady, I heard her talking to someone else in the background, and she says, I can't believe she wrote this. Sounds just like me. These are my words, and that made me feel really good.
Wow.
It was kind of cool.
So that's a perfect example of getting your perfect client and writing directly to that client.
Yeah. Yeah, and I felt like I did a good job. It was ghostwriting for her, so she was talking.
Yeah.
And she really thought it sounded just like her, so I felt good.
That's
felt like I did a good job.
Excellent. That's perfect. So what about the flip side of the coin? Have you had any kind of flops that happen?
Yeah, we've all, I think, had flops. I think my biggest flops have probably been with my own marketing efforts, thankfully. But I think that some of the flops, I always look back to see what went wrong, why isn't this working, and a lot of times I can boil it down to two things. The client was in a hurry, and I skipped some of my steps. And I never should do that. I need to always be strong and say, no, we have to go through this research because we'll have hit it wrong. And a lot of it's because I let myself be rushed. And that sometimes will lead to a flop. I think when you have a flop, go back and look and see what happened. And do it with your client. If you're a copywriter, go back together and say, well, what's not working? What do we need to do differently? Because marketing's trial and error.
For sure, for sure. That's perfect. Well, Kelly, I think you've just given us an absolutely phenomenal overview of copywriting and the process, that we really have to go through, to get the marketing campaign in place and actually the entire marketing process. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we maybe haven't covered in the detail that we should have?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think if I was going to say like one final thing to everyone, if you're looking to go do your own marketing, really take the time to look at where you're at and where you want to go. Where are you at? And know, just start at the beginning. And don't just jump and say, oh, well, he's doing postcards. He has a brochure. I need a brochure. People waste a lot of money doing that. Take the time to think things through and really analyze where you're at and where you want to go. What's the best way to get there?
Beautiful. Now, where can people get in touch with you if they want to get more information from you, get on your newsletter, or contact you to be a client?
Okay. Well, my email address is Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at KellyRobbinsLLC.com.
Okay.
And Robbins has two B's. You can also you can just go to my website or send me an email. My newsletter is available on the website. If anyone's interested in copywriting themselves, either learning how to write their own copy or they're a copywriter and are looking for some tips, we also have a website, thecopywritinginstitute.com, and it has lots of resources there to help you out.
Perfect. That is fantastic, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry.
You've been listening to Kelly Robbins from KellyRobbinsLLC.com, as well as her other website, thecopywritinginstitute.com, and myself, Terry Telford, from thebusinessprofessional.com. Thanks very much for your time.